Hey everybody, welcome to the Liberty Squadron podcast. My name is Andrew Lewinsky, and this week I'm joined with Marshall Staggs.
Hey everyone.
And Jonathan Lee.
Hello.
All right guys, we've been off for a little bit. We had some personal issues come up, so we didn't record last week. So we are back. We will catch you guys up on everything that we might have missed and go from there. Myself and Jonathan were at Nova this past week. We've had a little bit of news drop. We were at the Gold Squadron podcast panel with Alex Davey, and we have some contest results. So why don't we just dive right into it? What news do we have this week? First, we have to announce that the South Jersey Philadelphia area group championship date, we had to move it due to a Magic release. It is going to be on October 6th now, not September 29th. We had a little bit of a conflict there with space, so in order to ensure that we can fit as many people as possible, it's going to be on October 6th.
Yeah, it's just the next Saturday.
Yeah, it's the following Saturday afterwards. Same prizes, same everything else. I should still be able to make it there to stream. Hopefully it doesn't conflict with too many other issues. I know it's the same weekend as Coruscant, but we'll have you guys up to date on everything
that's happening. Oh,
it is. Right.
Yeah, so you could either watch Coruscant or you can watch our stream.
Or you can watch
both. I think you should watch our stream.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's going to be more, not people breaking the game with Boba Fett.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so going into Nova, we'll start with the winner. We had Josh Holt from, I think he's one of the crates. I think he's crates on top, if anyone knows that phrase. Yeah,
not that necessarily indicates where he's from, but yeah, he was a crate.
Yeah.
So probably East Coast.
East Coast, Beast Coast, right?
Yeah.
Well, all right, anyway, so Josh Holt was the winner. Congratulations, Josh. He was flying Kanan and the Ghost with Ray, Tactician, TLT, Accuracy Corrector, Engine Upgrade, Zeb in the escape shuttle, and your standard hot cop Fen. It's a little bit different than what we've been seeing with the Ghost Fens. I like this a little bit better.
So where does he makes up the, so he, where does he get the points? I guess it's Maul, right?
Yeah.
It's Maul and Ezra. He saves a couple points there. And oh, and sensor jammer is a point more than accuracy corrector. Okay.
Yeah. So okay, he doesn't have the sensor jammer.
Right.
But he gets that the extra focus from Ray and gets to take away one of their attack dice with Kanan's ability. So the first time I actually went up against the Ghost Fen, it was this almost exact build, and it was scary. It hurt a lot. I had no idea what was going on. But
yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So he went with this instead of your standard Lothal Fen, Hot Cop, Ghost Fen build, and it worked out for him.
And the accuracy corrector also can help counteract like lightweight frame under some situations, like quick draw.
Yeah, if you're not familiar with accuracy corrector.
Oh yeah, sure.
You cancel all your dice and then you add two. So if lightweight frame comes into effect and there's only two dice on the table, you can't roll that third dice because you canceled all of them.
Yeah.
Not something we'll have to worry about in 2.0 at the moment. So
yeah.
So we had the runner up was Alexander Benassi. He was flying two Glaive Squadron pilots with Ion Cannons, Predator, and the Tidee title. And then a Scimitar Squadron bomber with Fleet Officer, Carrier Droid, Twin Ion Engines, and the Shuttle title. I like this. It's different.
Yeah, props to him for getting all the way to the final with this. When Imperial Veterans dropped, I tried a very similar list. I think there were X7 defenders, but it was like two X7 defenders and the fleet officer. And I just could not get it to work. So props for Alex. I think I met Alex a couple times. He's a really good guy and he's an interesting player. I remember when I used to live in the Nova area, I would run into him at like just regular monthly store tournaments a lot. And he always was running something interesting and he was always a really good player. So it's good to see him like making it into the final with a goofy list. That was probably a pretty good meta call considering how easy those Reapers are to Ion. He was probably denying his opponent opportunities to play.
Yeah. Especially so especially because of their ion, you can't do the ailerons because it's before you are revealing a dial, and if right, ionize, you are not revealing a dial, so that's, they can't go anywhere, they're just going straight, and that's huge for the Reapers.
Yeah, it's good against them, it's good against Nim Miranda. I guess with the exception of the final, it's probably good against a ghost. Yeah, I think it was probably just a good meta call.
Yeah, I like it a lot. It's different. It's a shame we won't see too many people copycatting it, but
yeah,
at the same time, it's
well, I'm glad in 2.0, you can get those two defenders. You just can't get the shuttle.
Right,
they're going to be on their own.
All right, so both myself and Jonathan played down at Nova. I will go over my pit of misery real quick. I did not do too well. My first game, I will blame this game a little bit on variance. I was going up against, I can't remember anyone's name. I was just getting out of there. But it was two HLC news and a quick draw. And I was able to get up on him on points. I took out one of his new squadron pilots. And at the very last turn, as time was called, he was able to fly a quick draw over a rock and double tap my Inquisitor. So I lost that game 31-28. It was rough. I wasn't able to take off that final new, and I was sad.
What were you flying?
The Yor Inquisitor and Vermeil build that I've been flying. I've been flying that for like months now. So like I got sad when that first. So I was like, all right, cool. Let's submarine our way up. The next list I went up against was a Ray Lowric, which I am 100% blaming myself on that because I made the completely wrong calls. I like ran the Inquisitor right into Lowric without having the Inquisitor in arc or have an arc. I focused down the wrong ship when I should have been focusing the other one. It was just very bad meta call on myself. Or not medical, but like...
Oh, you went after...
Yeah.
Did you go after Ray?
No, I actually went after Lowric first. And the problem was, is I took down... It took me way too long to get Lowric down where I just kind of let Ray pick off my people. Where I think if I had enough firepower that Lowric's evade, I could have chewed right through it. And, like, I know everyone says you should be firing at Lowric first, but doing the math in my head, the amount of Lowric's reinforce wouldn't have made up for what he would have given to our Ray innovates. So yeah, I 100% blame myself on that. My next game, I went up against a Whisper, a Captain Yor, and a Vermeil. Oh, close to a mirror match. It wasn't Vermeil. It was Countdown. So that I kind of, at that point, I was like, all right, I'm 0-2. Let's try to do something different. I had a hard time catching Whisper. So at that point, like with Whisper moving after me and everything, it was an advanced sensors Whisper. So anything that I tried to do, I just kind of kept getting caught off guard by Whisper and had a sad time. Felt super bad. But all in all, I had a great time down at Nova. If anyone has not been, I would highly recommend it. I believe they did say that they are trying to do another Nationals down there with a second edition coming out.
Yeah, I think it was Ted who asked that question at the panel, right? He asked if they thought that, he basically asked, should I buy a ticket to Nova next year if I want to play X-Wing? And they said yes, or Alex said yes. So
yeah, so I know it's a little bit far out, but it was a blast. There was so many, like I met so many fun people. It was such a good time. I would absolutely go almost every year that I can now. But yeah, that's my recap. I went 0-3 and then I said, all right, let's root on my teammates and go from there. So Jonathan, do you want to recap?
Yeah, so I was flying Bob, the contractor in the Resistance Bomber. He's a Crimson Specialist and he's the guy, he can drop a bomb anywhere along his base. And he had Bomblet Generator and Trajectory Simulator. And then I was flying three Blue Squadron B-Wings with Thrust Corrector. And Thrust Corrector came and saw his Renegades. And it's a card that lets you You can take a stress token to cancel your evade dice and add an evade result. So it's kind of like a reinforce at the cost of a stress. And you can do it until you have up to 3 stress. So my first game, I played Mark Fogel Sr. This is on the Gold Squadron stream. It's the first game of day 1B. It was a really tight game. I killed Ryad on the second to last turn. Spoiler alert, I killed Ryad on the second to last turn and managed to win. I hadn't played this list a lot, so something to just sort of a tip. Like when you're playing, like, so these big base ships have a lot of sort of forward momentum. They want to move forward because they're so big and they cover a lot of ground. But a lot of the big ships, like the Bomber with Trajectory Simulator, but also things like the Lambda, the Upsilon, and I'd say the YV-666 don't really want to move fast. They want to move slow. Mm-hmm. So I moved my B-Wings, barrel rolled them in front of the Bomber and sort of self-bumped. So as a way to sort of slow myself down without having to use the stop maneuver. And you'll see a lot of Lambda pilots do that too. So they'll just self-bump at the beginning. Like they'll have the Inquisitor like barrel roll in front, or they'll have their Lambda set up so that it automatically bumps on that first turn so they don't have to stop and it can slow themselves down. So that'd be my tip from that game, is just self-bumping can be your friend. So game 2, I played Jesse. I forget his last name. He was flying Quick Draw, Inquisitor, Vermeil, and this was a really great close game. On the final round, on the final turn, he had killed 38 points. I killed 36. I had a B-Wing, range 1, on Quick Draw. Quick Draw had 1 health, and then I rolled 4 dice, rolled all 4 blanks. But so he won that game. And he deserved the win. And lesson from here is, you know, sort of the onus was on me to have a modded shot, and that shot was unmodded. So, you know, it was an unmodded shot. So I can't complain about that at all. Either I needed to acquire a target lock somewhere earlier to use on that shot, or, you know, he was doing a good job forcing me to use my actions on barrel rolls so I wouldn't be modded. So he won. So I'm 1-1. And then game 3, I played a Nim Miranda list, and I somehow managed to win that one. I killed Nim after Nim bombed me a whole bunch. And then he landed his Miranda on a rock at the end of the game, and I was able to kill Miranda. But in that game, I moved really slow, lots of one bank, barrel roll back, one bank, barrel roll back. And I'd say my lesson from that game is, when you're flying like a mini swarm, often you're crawling up the edge. And when you have that choice to either bank in or hard turn in, banking in gives you a lot of options on what to do, whereas like hard turning kind of commits you. So yeah, Sometimes the bank is your friend and the hard turn commits you and you can't get out of it. So I'm 2-1. Game 4, I play a guy who has Wedge, Wes, a Cavern Angel Zealot, and Stress Ezra. And I win this game also. He set up his Cavern Angel Zealot exactly opposite me, and he put Wedge and Wes in the exact opposite corner, which I thought was a little odd. But then I realized I'm at Nova. He's 2-1 also. And so I was like, okay, don't underestimate him. And he was able to do this turn barrel roll boost, and he got that Cavern Angel Zealot out of there. So I think, you know, just don't underestimate your opponent. Even at first glance, you're like, this is a slightly odd list. The setup was a little weird, but no, he did a good job there, but I was able to win. So I'm 3-1, feeling good. And then I play Steven from the DC area. He gave me a great Wedge Antilles alt art card. Last year, they were giving out a Captain Rex cards, and I have one of those. It's great.
Oh, yeah. He plays at Labyrinth in DC, okay. I think.
Yeah, so he was playing...
There's a super cool group of guys at that store. Yeah.
He was playing Palp Shuttle, Quick Draw, Vermeil, and yeah, he just sort of stomped me. So lesson from there was he did a great job. I shot at Palp, I shot at Quick Draw, I shot at Palp, I shot at Quick Draw. And each turn, it was like, the right answer this turn is to shoot Palp. Oh, the right answer this turn is to shoot Quick Draw. But then, you know, targeting priority, it's important to sort of keep that in mind. So my targeting priority was all sort of scrambled by him. So good job for him. And I know he made the cut. Actually, everyone I lost to, I know made the cut. So And then my last game was against Chris. I forget his last name. I know he plays in Maryland, and I think at the same store Tim Hilton plays at. And I played him before at PAX Unplugged last year. And he had Ray Lorick. And I lost this game, but it was really close. It ended up with my full health Crimson Specialist chasing his Lorick with C-3PO. So it's very hard for a 2-die turret to punch through that. But I got some good bomblet drops, but he ended up winning. So I lost that one by 7 points. But it was a good game. And the lesson there was when I turned in for the engagement, I ended up with all my ships sort of in a long column. And that's not how you want them to be, because he was able to pick off or put a lot of damage into my front ship while my back ships weren't able to fire. So I should have barrel rolled back, sped my back guys up further. I should have put in those three banks on those back B-wings, but I didn't want them stressed, so I didn't. So it was my fault for, I didn't line up that first engagement right, and he was able to put a lot of damage. So I finished 3-3, but I'm pretty happy. I'm very happy with how I did, and it was a great experience. I echo everything that Andrew said about Nova, and I'd recommend that people go.
I mean, yeah, you were 3-3, but you still ended at 34th, I think it was, right?
I was 34th on day 1B, yeah.
Yeah, so you were right there behind there, everyone.
So pretty much all the 4-2s made it, I guess.
I believe all of them did.
At least on that day.
Yeah, so on day 1B, it was a perfect cut where 33rd place was 3-3, 32nd place was 4-2.
Okay.
Right, so I think there was 128 people registered, well, signed up for each day, but I think only 96-ish about showed up for each day, so felt sad. But I mean, at the same time, I think everyone's so excited for second edition that they just are ready to play it and didn't want to bother with first edition anymore. But this is our send-off to a first edition, though. We are officially done. I mean,
I'm out.
Yeah, I packed up all my first edition stuff. It is in the attic, and it'll probably stay there until I'm like, why did I keep this stuff?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, it's all in a shoebox in my closet.
Exactly. So all my second edition stuff is packed and ready to go. I'm waiting for everyone else to get it. Can't wait. Super fun. All right, so let's go.
Us losers, you didn't have the Gen Con hookup. Right. All our stuff's coming next week.
So, I'm excited for you guys to play. I'm excited for the app to come out, honestly.
I really want the app very badly. It's getting to be a real pain to hop onto my computer and go to Yasby 2.0 every time I want to make a list.
So I have high hopes for the app. Let's see what happens. Marshall, do you want to go over let's do our fondest memories of 1.0. Marshall, you take this.
I didn't know I was going to start.
Putting you on the spot.
Yeah, no, it's cool. I was thinking a lot about this. I'm not going to pick out one specific memory, but definitely the first. So I started playing in probably September of whatever year The Force Awakens came out. So I guess that was September of 2016. Does that sound right? Right before The Force Awakens core set dropped. So right after Wave 7, right before that, which I may be looking at it through, rose-tinted glasses, but I feel like that was the best meta. And I have really fond memories of learning to play the game and being in the Nova area, learning to play where there were tournaments every weekend and I could go and play X-Wing pretty much any day of the week, anytime I wanted, with a bunch of players who were really, really good. And I think learning to play the game in that environment and in that meta where there was nothing that was super broken. Palpaces was a little bit broken. Regen Poe after Paul won Worlds for the third time was kind of annoying. But that was kind of the last meta before, Wave 8 and the Jump Masters came out and things kind of started to go haywire on a wave-to-wave basis. So that I do have like very fond memories of that time and just getting to know the community, which is something that it looks like it's going to continue into 2.0. Because I think for the most part, nobody around here is bowing out upon the release of 2.0. So the community is one of the things that me and everyone else I know has always really appreciated. It looks like that's going to stick around. So yeah. I'm super excited for that to continue. So I guess my fondest memory of 1.0 is 1.0.
Is 1.0 itself.
Except for like the past year or so. Learning to play the game and how welcoming the community was definitely a highlight.
There was definitely something about just walking into a store for the first time and just seeing everyone be like, oh, you're new. Do you want to get a game? Like how welcoming everybody is coming in.
Yeah, yeah. And especially coming from like playing 40K and stuff when I was a teenager in a community that was like not super welcoming, that was a nice change.
Yeah, it's weird going from X-Wing into 40K. Well, I shouldn't say 40K, but Kill Team. But
oh yeah,
I just hear these horror stories where
The people you play Kill Team with are all X-Wing people,
right? Exactly. So it's like our X-Wing Kill Team community. I guess my fondest memory is, like I said, walking into these stores and just for the first time and like people, you know, just being so welcoming. I guess from like a competitive standpoint, I'm not being into the competitive scene for that long. Might be like making my first cut or anything like that. Just the adrenaline that, you know, is going through you, that like everything that you've kind of like put your like marbles into, like you just look at that sheet and you see your name in the top cut. Like it's crazy. It's like a great feeling. I know. And that goes from like, you know, it's really not a 1.0 memory, but just getting into X-Wing in general, it's just such a cool feeling. I think, like I said, going from store championships to going 0-4 at Showcase, and then, 2 weeks later going 4-0, it's just a really cool feeling. I probably dove into the game a little bit late to have any of these like crazy memories of doing stuff before this oppressive meta. Like I was probably in the 2.0 test meta, but at the same time, like coming out and having like the like, so like making the first cut and like the community surrounding, you know, you and kind of like congratulating you and showing how much you've come in the game. Like, again, it's going back to the community, the people that you practice with, the people that you played with on a weekly basis, just being there for you. It was really like a fun time between making cuts in store championships and then start making cuts in regionals. It's just such a adrenaline rush. But I definitely, what I enjoyed most about first edition so far. I'm sure, I hope to make cuts in second edition too, but we'll see. Again, it goes back to that community and having everyone surround you in such a positive manner. I enjoy it and I hope to see it again in second edition. Jonathan, how about you? You want to take anything?
I guess my fondest memory, I had not single memory, but multiple memories, maybe our local group championship. I mean, I think I've been to 4. I was at the first group championship I flew. There's like 10 people there or 8 people, you know, it was me and I could name all that. Like Brian was there and Lou was there and like Seth was there. And there was like 8 to 10 people and it was a great tournament. And I like that. It was like my first tournament, I think. And that was a great experience. I came in like 5th out of 8, or I think, or 4th out of 8 or somewhere along there. And then the second group championship where I flew, I think 4 Talas and 2 Dagger Squadrons, maybe. And then after that, but like there's just some special camaraderie at the group championship. I mean, I've been to bigger tournaments and I've always enjoyed my experiences at Nova and at the Steel Open and such, and System Opens. But there's just something great about our group, about the group championship, where you see your friends from all the local stores and people you don't see that often. And it's, yeah, so I'd say the group champion group championships have been my favorite. And as for best meta, I don't know. I mean, I like Marshall, I remember really enjoying that time when Poe had come out, but before Jump Masters arrived.
Yeah, there we had like oh, my microphone fell over. We had like 4 or 5 months of sanity. Because I remember it was like right after I started playing, but right before it was when I started playing and then moved, like right before I moved up to this area and like got into the South Jersey PA community. Because I remember that first store championship I played in this area, I think was like the week after Wave 8 dropped, and it was Jump Masters, and I got tabled with like a Poe list, like a Poe Stresslog something, and I was like, oh no, this game has changed. And from then
don't
on
even know
it
what
was,
happened.
Yeah, from then on it was a little bit different, but yeah, but this community was so cool that I didn't really care.
Yeah, the Philadelphia area is definitely unique.
Yeah, it's, I mean, my only other comparison is Nova, and it's maybe because it's not as spread out as Nova. That might be part of it, but it seems like everyone kind of knows each other a little. Maybe I do want to use the word like intimate, but it's like, it's smaller and it might be a little more tight knit. And maybe that has something to do with it being less competitive. Not to say that like the Nova people all hate each other.
All right.
It's a different vibe.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, you always hear the Nova people, and like you always, like the first thing that comes to mind is like the hyper competitiveness from that area. Mm-hmm. Like whenever you hear like anyone like, oh, you're from that area, and then you just automatically think, what is the meta and coming from that area? They almost define it basically.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
So it definitely, it's a little bit more relaxed in this area, but we're kind of working around.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, I mean, I've been to a lot of events in the Nova area, and despite any reputation, I've always had a good experience going down to games and stuff. Or to,
oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Super friendly guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that wraps up our podcast on First Edition. We will not be talking about First Edition anymore. Huzzah! It is
if
gone.
If you talk about First Edition, you will be thrown off the show.
Into the pit of misery.
We are done. Yeah.
So, yes, we are no longer talking about First Edition. It is gone. It is over with. We are free. All right. So, when me and Jonathan were down in Nova, we went to the Gold Squadron podcast panel that they had with Alex Davey, Dion Morales, who was it? Andrew Bunn, Paul Heaver was there, yeah.
Ryan
Stasniewski? Was that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, was that who that was? Okay. There were a couple people who I did not know. But, okay.
So, yeah, there was a couple interesting things that they did talk about. Basically, we'll go over a couple of the topics. I'm surprised they haven't actually posted the video. As soon as they do, we will share it to our new Facebook page. One of the things that I'm sure everyone's kind of talked about is most improved chassis was the Punisher, the Hawk, both of them. I've kind of dabbled with both of them. I enjoyed the Hawk a lot. It's a definitely good fix.
Oh yeah, you've had a chance to play it now at this point.
Yeah, the Hawk.
Do you want to like briefly talk about how you've been running it in 2.0?
We'll get down to we do have a section. We'll talk about like our second edition.
Oh right. Okay.
So we'll get into that. I think Jonathan actually flew the Punisher in second edition, right?
I did. Yeah, Bridline is amazingly great. Because right. He basically has pushed the limit as long as you take a target lock.
Right.
So really pretty awesome.
So everyone was pretty in consensus that they are the most improved chassis. The nerfed is obviously the Jumpmaster. I was trying to list build with the Jumpmaster today and like I just couldn't do it. Like it's
so weird.
Yeah. I mean, like I was like, okay, well, it says if they're in your front arc, so maybe if you turn your turret to the side and they are still in both arcs, and then I was just like, no, this just doesn't make sense. I would imagine they're going to have to either change or rotta something on there to even make it playable, because the amount of points that it is, it just doesn't look like it's going to ever see table play. The K-Wing, I kind of tried messing around with that too, and I can't see it. Maybe slamming with cotton nets and stuff like that, it might be somewhat viable, but I still think they're just not going to see play.
What slots does it still have? It still has all the missiles and torpedoes and bombs, right? Like, it still has all those options?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah, it has two missiles, a torpedo, crew, gunner, device modification.
Okay.
Okay.
And it's cheap, so...
40 points for a warden.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think it was 52 for
a little more than the Punisher.
So like a warden?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to do with it.
A warden squadron with barrage rockets is 46 points.
Okay.
Throw on a seismic charge and it's 49 points.
Okay.
Yeah, seems pretty, I mean, seems
pretty reasonable. But like, so like Miranda, you would think isn't going to be seeing play.
No, I don't see why. How much is Miranda? She's 48 points.
She's 48, okay.
Esegi is 50.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. I guess his ability is much better in 2.0.
I mean, like, if you have the warden squad, you have the unguided rocket, so you're shooting three dice at the front, two dice to eat, and then say you have your bow tie set sideways, so you have a 270-degree arc. Three dice at the front, you can slam... Mm-hmm. Okay. You have a bomb, so you can sort of threaten, you know. I think it could be, I mean, if you keep it at like 50 points or so.
They still have enough health that they could take some hits. Oh, and because they're in the medium base now too, right?
Yeah.
And then on that medium base with the slamming, they're going to move faster.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, man, that should be interesting to mess around with.
So maybe, yeah. I mean, go ahead. I feel like the K-Wing would be good if they, as like a rebel version of like a gunboat, if they added titles or something, you know, made it.
I was literally just thinking that, yeah, they don't have a title for them, do they?
No, but it could fit that in, like changing it from a bomber to like a missile carrier,
yeah,
like the gunboat is supposed to be.
Maybe like slamming and then dropping a bomb or something with a title.
Or maybe not dropping a bomb, or like not going back to 1.0, but like slamming and like you can't, yeah, maybe being able to attack with the weapons disabled, but you can't spend your target lock or something.
Right.
Okay. Whatever the gunboat titles are.
I was thinking maybe like a Genius-esque title, because Genius still exists, but I could see maybe something like that happening, because it would still inflict damage upon itself. And we know how that works, but there's possibilities. I just don't see... Like any of the name pilots, I don't see them seeing any play.
No.
At least competitively. Paul Heaver discussed about netlisting and how his opinion of it is, why not? You should absolutely be doing this. The first time that he won Worlds, he literally netlisted and just tweaked it to his personal preference. Which, like I said, we talked about this a little bit. That in the area, we kind of have like this reputation of don't netlist and don't do this, but... There's been times and time again where we literally, like, I'll be building a list and I just can't figure out that final piece to it. So, like, I'll type in the list into List Juggler or MetaWing and, like, it then makes sense. Like, I'll be like, oh, snap, that is literally the missing piece that I've been looking for. RIP List Juggler. But he brings up a valid point that, you know, so there are sometimes, you know, good pilots, and then there's sometimes good, you know, engineers with building these lists. Like, sometimes you just don't have the right optimization, and you might need that optimization towards your playstyle. Marshall, do you have any opinion on this?
I have strong opinions about this.
Share them.
As I do on many topics. I feel like this has come up on the podcast before. This might have been like my first beginner tip, or if it wasn't a beginner tip I said out loud, it would certainly be one of my main beginner tips, which is just don't list build. I think Paul talked about it in that little run he did about net listing, where he said something about how it's a skill, and I think you touched on this a second ago. It's a skill. Not everyone has the skill. It's a difficult skill to develop, and you're going to ram your head against the wall trying to figure out how to make a list work when maybe you're just not on the right track at all. And this is something that took me a long time to figure out. And I think I didn't become a good player until I took a good list and like figured out and played it a lot and figured out why it was good and like why the components of it all work together. And that led to me having like a way deeper understanding of the game. So I think net listing like helps you become a good, it can help you become a good player. As long as the thing you're net listing isn't like something that's completely broken. Like, I don't think net listing Ghost Fen is going to make you a better player, but I think net listing something like Palp Aces or, I don't know, like going back to previous metas, like even Paul Heaver's like 2015 Worlds list, the one that was like Poe and Stress Hog. Like, I think that's a list that takes like some amount of skill to fly well. So pulling those lists off the internet or like stealing them, quote unquote, stealing from good players, I think especially when you're starting out is probably your fastest route to success.
No, yeah.
And I don't think that's a bad thing. Exactly. I mean, I've been playing this game for 3 years and like I don't know how to build a list. Like, especially with 2.0 coming out, I look at those lists of cards and upgrade slots and points, and I have no idea what's supposed to fit together.
It's almost like you want to like throw as many upgrades on as you want, but you know that's probably not the right answer at the moment. Like,
right,
with everything, all the points changing, I think it's going to require a lot of testing, and some people are better at it than others. And I mean, I'll be honest, like, I mean, I constantly will just be building these lists, and I always feel like I'm missing something. And that's kind of like where I will go to, or is like, I'll just look for that like missing piece to the list where I'm like, oh, that's a great idea. Let me see if I can integrate it into this list. So I think you could still tweak things to your preference.
Absolutely.
I mean, like if you literally just copy and pasta a list to yourself, that might be one thing, but you should always still try to, if you're a heavy jouster, maybe bring some more ordnance. If you like to kite things, or maybe bring something else that you would want to do. But I really don't see a problem with net listing, or just getting the information that you need to further optimize your list to your preference. Everyone flies differently, but it's definitely, there's no harm in it. With List Juggler and Metawing leaving now, how are people going to be getting these lists? There's plenty of resources out there in the community. I know people are like, oh, how are we going to know what's good and what's going to be bad? Reddit still exists. There's countless podcasts.
Yeah, I think the fact that Gold Squadron, like the fact that Dion is going to be streaming more and more, like people are going to see what makes it onto the top tables. Like, it's not going to be difficult information to get.
X-Wing's literally becoming like whether you see it or not, but it is becoming a humongous like entity in the tabletop world right now, especially with the release of second edition. There's so many outlets of media coming out for this game that I don't think we're going to have a problem with people communicating and what is good and what is not good. I think we'll probably start like a meta analysis each episode just to try to communicate what we think is and isn't going to be powerful in the,
it's definitely something like worth talking about.
Right.
But I think I think there's going to be less data. Like right now, the like List Juggler and Metawing allows X-Wing to be very data driven. And I think it's not going to be possible for that to continue in the way it's happening now.
I mean, hopefully FFG takes the app and tournament results and balances everything as much as they possibly can. I did ask Alex in the actual panel like how they were going to balance that, and he seems very confident that they are going to have plenty of resources to do it themselves. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and hope that they do that. With that being said, like I said, there is going to be so many resources for you to still see what these lists are and how you can tweak them for yourselves.
I mean, I remember, before, I don't remember how long this juggler has been out, but I do remember the time before it came out. And then
the dark times.
I think Major Juggler, he would collate all those results, like all the regional results, top eight lists and stuff. Like people crowdsourced them and collated them on like FFG forums and such.
Yeah, he was still doing that. He was doing that as recently as like last regional season, I think.
Yeah, so I mean that information will be out there, and
even if he stops doing it, somebody else will do it.
Someone will do it. You'll hear about it. You'll see those lists at like, we'll see. Like we'll hear from what's the first event coming? Gold Squadron Classic, is that the first?
I can't remember. I know Minoc and Kappa and the Gold Squadron one are
classic, like, and the Crossroads Classic in Indianapolis is coming up, and Minoc Open. So there's going to be a bunch of events.
All these unofficial tournaments. All we know is we have PAX Unplugged, the first official FFG qualifier
system open. Yep. Yeah.
So
I keep forgetting if they're called system opens.
They are still called system opens.
They are called system opens. Okay.
Okay. Moving on, is Ion too powerful? Who wants to take this? Who wrote it?
Oh yeah, that was me. That was something interesting that I thought came up during the panel. I can't remember if it was someone on the panel who brought it up or if it was in response to a question, but I did kind of want to get your guys' thoughts on it, especially since an Ion list made it to the top table at Nationals over the weekend. I think the thought was that the nerf to Ion, I guess it's a nerf, that it you do a one blue maneuver instead of a one white maneuver. That is obviously a nerf, but the fact that the only action you can perform after you execute an Ion maneuver is a focus action, if that makes it equally likely for you to just get walked off the board by Ion effects. And I don't know if you guys have seen, Control Bots or Alex's list, or lists like it in action very much, and how often, if you know, like anecdotally, how often that kind of thing happens.
So,
but I think it raised an interesting point where people were saying that Ion got nerfed, and I'm not sure if it actually got nerfed.
So I do have a little bit of experience flying control bots, and I think one of the things. All right, so yes, you can't stress control someone off the board with the one straight whites, but it's a very, if someone's walking you off the board, they know how to do it, and it's a very hard thing to do because a lot of times what you want to do is you want to kind of just like move them forward, but that means you're either also moving forward with them and you're either bumping or you're going to be maybe not getting as many mods yourself, if that makes sense, unless you have like an Ion turret just walking them theoretically, then yeah. But I don't think it's going to be as niche as like people think. It's still going to be very hard because there might be that one turn where you just roll one hit and that's just going to go through as damage. I still think it's very, that's right, very powerful, because then it can set you up for very strong attacks, but at the same time, I unless you have like three or four Ion turrets, it's gonna be very hard to do.
Okay,
Jonathan, do you have anything on that? Or
yeah, I'd agree. Like, it's harder to squeak through. I mean, you can a lot. The fact that the first one is damage and you don't Ion until the second one, it means like there's a lot of times you'll shoot an Ion weapon, just do damage. So on the one hand, so it may be harder to land that one Ion token on like Soontir Fel or someone like that. But I like how now you can actually, it's easier to Ion, like you have a chance of Ioning big ships too,
right,
like better than before, being able to land multiple Ion tokens at the same time on one attack. So I think that's good. I think like Ion or like control in general, if it's too good, then it gets kind of oppressive and annoying, but I don't think it's it doesn't feel like it's at that point right now. But
I feel like it's going to punish, like, if you do get too close to the board and you need to make that all-out attack, it is going to punish you for that. But I can't see any list where if you start in the middle of the board that you're just going to get walked off.
Yeah.
It would be very hard to do, I think.
Okay.
That being said, you can fit 5 Gray Squadron Y-Wings with Ion Cannon turrets and have 10 points left over.
I might try.
How many?
5.
5, okay.
Yeah. Similarly, you can equip a Miranda Doni to 132 points.
Nice.
We could talk about it later or a little bit, but like, well, in a similar vein, like something that, like you saying that about Miranda, and like that made me think of points fortressing, and they talked about half points at the panel a little bit. But one thing that I think is an open question in 2.0 that I just kind of want to throw out there and see if you guys have anything to say about it is there is no solution right now for fortressing.
I was about to ask him about like tournament rules or floor rules, but then they started to get into it themselves, so I kind of shied away from it. But I think at the moment I can't see them changing anything along those lines. Fortressing is still going to be a thing. I think they might he really kind of emphasized that he wanted the judges to really kind of enforce the rules, and then if they are being broken, to kind of take it into their own hands, where they people kind of asked, like, well, what is the consequence, what can you do? And then like Alex said that, you know, we'll set a timer, like, you know, and then if that doesn't work, then disqualify. Like, I don't know if he actually said that outright, but at the same time, he was kind of like, try to enforce it. Because I know there was a lot of problems at Worlds with people just kind of like, well, I'm not going to sit here and play the game. I'm going to sit here and just bump my ships until, you know, the game's over. But I don't know.
Yeah, like that and slow play. Because the other thing they specifically talked about was slow play. Yeah. Like that and slow play are like kind of two big problems that I don't think have been addressed yet. But maybe, I mean, I've said it before, I'll say it again, we need the tournament regulations.
Yeah, we need four.
It's so bizarre to me that we don't have them yet. We're like a week out and we don't have tournament.
I got a feeling once Coruscant happens, we'll see it. But
oh yeah, hopefully we get it before.
Yeah. Just if you change final salvo to a different tiebreaker, it could help with fortressing. But I guess if you're in a situation where you know your list has a very low chance against your opponent's list, you might still fortress and go for that 50-50.
Yeah.
I might be crazy, but I feel like one of the developers said that Final Salvo isn't going anywhere. Like, yeah, that's carrying over. I might be totally making that up, but that might have been something that was said. So I'm moving forward assuming that Final Salvo is going to be in place.
Yeah, I here's the thing. Like, I think they should go back to a 3-point system where if you win, you get 3 points. If you lose, you get 0. If you win on a final salvo, you get 1 point. Is that too much like the tie? Like, I mean, like...
So ties would have been fine if the two players in the game were splitting an equal number of points. So if a win was 4 points, a loss was 0 points, a tie was 2 points, and then a modified win was the winner gets 3 points and the loser gets 1 point. Like, that makes more sense mathematically. But to arbitrarily give each player in a tie, it makes ties kind of meaningless. Like, yeah, if you have a tie as opposed to a loss, I guess it will technically push you over if it's the difference between like 15 points and 16 points or whatever. But the way that they used to do that never made sense to me. Like, I don't think it's good for the game to have ties.
Yeah,
but otherwise, like, I don't know what the solution is.
What if on a tie you both get 0 points, you both lose?
I mean,
that solves the fortressing problem, I guess.
Yeah, like, I mean, I think it would have to be something like if no ships have been destroyed, or if both points are still at, or lists are at 200 points.
Right.
Especially because now that things get half points.
No player has scored points.
Yeah.
And they both get 0 points. And a win's 1 point, a loss is 0 points, and a tie is 0 points.
That could
work. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's... I'm sure someone would find something to complain about that, and it would cause a controversy. But you saying that right now doesn't raise...
Well, okay, so... diving into the L5R world, I know they did have problems with slow play and I believe, all right, so it's been a while since I've looked into this, but I know that they did something where if time was called and you drew it on, like, okay, so if time was called and like there was clearly a winner or loser and you kind of like drug it on like for slow play reasons, it was a modified win, and you didn't get as much points. Okay. I know, like I said, it's been a while since I looked at these rules. So, I mean, the FFG probably has a solution. They might not have released it yet because they're waiting for the second edition to come out. But if they did it with L5R, they might be implementing it into second edition. So I think they do have a solution for it. So let's hope that they actually do come out with it. So that might be kind of like similar on the same way as of fortressing. So I guess we'll have to wait and see. Going forward, one of the things that they did talk about was there are going to be different possibilities or possible ways to get Worlds invites, not just... So they talked about in big tournaments, are there going to be... all wave kits? Is it going to be with the conversion kits? Something along those lines. I know previously they kind of passed it off to they're going to let organized play go with it. But one of the things Alex Davies said was that if you are like a new player or you are just going with the second edition stuff, there are going to be ways to get invites to Worlds with just flying that stuff. So that leads me to believe that there's going to be different formats. There's going to be like maybe an extended format and a standard format or limited format where, let's say, waves, like the only the last three waves are available to play. So you play those and then let's say a new wave comes out. So the first three waves have come out. Now wave four is coming out. Now everything from wave one is invalid. That's now pushed over to the extended format. If you like any kind of card game, a lot of times does this
method. Yeah, like a legality rotate, yeah. Like Magic rotates so, old sets out, yeah.
But the way he described it was that, you know, you can literally just play these first couple waves and in a format that you can still get invites to World, that you don't need to have all these conversion kits. And like he didn't say that like, oh, you can still win Worlds without having a conversion kit, but you're going to be playing against other people with conversion kits. No, he kind of like emphasized that you will have a format available, a competitive format that will let you progress into Worlds. I definitely think this is a plus. I think a lot of people, it gives you like a whole new way to play almost. So like if you are, there is something really oppressive out there. And like I said, you do see this in, I mean, I play a lot of Hearthstone and I know with their standard and extended play, you get some crazy combinations in the extended format where, or the wild format that they call it, that you don't see in the standard format because your entire ship collection or card collection in that the combos are crazy. Like they're endless. You can do so many nasty things where you can't do that in the standard format. So I'm hoping that they are at a point that they are testing this wave exclusive format. What do you think?
Yeah, I would really like that. If nothing else, just to cut down on the bloat that I think was a major problem toward the, you know, toward the latter half of 1.0. Yeah, I hope that your instincts are right and that's what they're going to.
I mean, we've really kind of work on. Yeah, we've come to the point that how many ships are in the game? There's a ton. So if and like here's the other thing. So like let's say they like you have the conversion kits and everything like that, but then okay, they're like okay, it's time to re-release like the Seeks, so they make them the new ship and a new wave, or like give these card packs for this wave so that you can now, they're now legal in this limited wave.
I think it's, I mean, they need a way that new players can participate in competitive play without having to buy, like, because eventually, like, stuff is going to go out of print and, like, they won't be able to find a Tide Defender, or for, as an example, like, say it's not re-released and then it goes out of print and then they're not, a new player won't be able to find one. So they need a format that new players can participate. So I think it's fine to have multiple formats. And
And like I said,
I hope, just, with, like, even if just that variety.
Yeah. So, I mean, if something crazy oppressive comes out like Dengar, they now have the option to maybe push that to a different format, or just say like, okay, this is, ship isn't going to be legal. That's only going to be legal in this extended play, which I think is way better for the game than just, you know, eroding everything and raising the points, but just pushing it to a different, that people want to play that.
In this format, this card is 8 points. In this format, this card is 16 points.
Exactly.
Like they can do that too. Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I know some people, there was a lot of naysayers in X-Wing that they, when it ended and people said how bad of a state the game was, but there were still some people who enjoyed the game of what it was. You could still have these players that enjoy that crazy, I'm going to play as many combos on a ship that I possibly can. And then you will have the players that are like, okay, well, this is the X-Wing that I knew and love because there aren't so many crazy combos. So hopefully that is the direction that they are going in, which it seems like they are. Jonathan, you seem excited for this one.
For what?
The Sith Infiltrator?
Oh. Yeah, so Alex, the news at the panel, Alex Davey did say that the, when directly asked, hey, can you just spoil something? The one thing he spoiled was that the Sith Infiltrator can cloak. So it's a, is it a medium base or is it going to be a large base? Like that?
I think it's large.
Yeah, people, I think it looks like medium, but I know people have been photoshopping around that they're saying it's large.
So a non-small base ship is going to be able to cloak. Right. So that's going to be...
Yeah, that'll be...
And he also, I think someone had asked him about getting factions caught up, if I remember correctly, and he said that they will have an aggressive release schedule for the new factions. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think especially with Republic, at least, there'll be a lot of cross faction stuff. Like Republic should get Z95s and Y wings and Arc 170s. So
yeah, definitely.
They already have some stuff.
Maybe just like do the S foils on the wings on the Arc 170, are they supposed to move around like in the movies? I can't remember.
Yes, they do. So it would be super cool if we got a new Arc blister that had that
articulating S foil.
I mean, they'll have to do it. They'll have to release one that has another paint scheme. Like the big Rebel Alliance logo is on the current Arc model, and that doesn't make any sense. So hopefully, that'd be super cool if they released another sculpt that had little wings that folded in and out. That'd be awesome.
Let's push on. We were a little strapped for time tonight, but all right. So we all got to play around with second edition stuff. Jonathan, do you want to go first of what you thought so far?
No, I enjoyed it very much. What little I played, the TIE Punisher, I put the TIE Punisher on the board and it's really great. You know, like even with loading, you could put like Red Line or Death Rain, put a couple of different things, give them a couple of different tools, like a couple different munitions, bombs, and the cost is not crazy. And Red Line is really awesomely great. The medium base, like it moves faster than I sort of expected, and I ended up bombing myself multiple occasions. So I have to be more mindful of stopping when I launch a bomb forward or using the seismics. I think landing the proton bombs because I equipped Redline with proton seismics and some missiles. And I think the protons, like you're going to hit yourself a lot, but seismics, since you're launching it forward and then you can detonate a debris or asteroid that's nearby, I think it's something that's easier to hit your opponent with and easier to avoid hitting yourself.
Yeah, the amount of that damage bubble, if you think about range one from the bomb and also range one of any obstacle that's range one of that bomb. Like, that is, that's almost range. I mean, it's over range two. Like, it's, if you take into account the size of the obstacle, like, it's a huge area to throw a bomb around.
Yeah, and then if you think, I mean, this scene is a little unwholesome, but if you put a trajectory simulator and seismic charges on Scum on Nim, and then he can hold it, like, you launch it right in the middle, you can threaten multiple asteroids, and you just hold it.
Oh, that's dirty. Yeah,
and then he can blow up like two, like multiple different, like, because it just has to be within range one. So you put it like right in the middle of the board and threaten multiple asteroids or debris, and then your opponent can't fly near any of those because you could just detonate them at any time. Sorry to bring something unwholesome.
That sounds good. Sounds scary.
Yeah, but I had a great time. Like, playing 2.0 felt really good. The Punisher was really great. I played named TIE Fighters, and they were all, even though I kept on forgetting what their abilities were, you know, they were... Yeah.
Oh yeah, all those Inferno Squadron pilots are super cool.
Yeah, and then I flew them as a group with Redline, and yeah, it worked really well. I think I would probably, maybe I would change around the munitions I carried on Redline, or, but I felt like it worked really well. And yeah, I've been trying to think of other ideas for lists, maybe, you know, yeah, playing some Rebels and such, but no, I had a good time.
Marshall, what are your thoughts?
So the second game of 2.0 I played, which was actually against that list that Jonathan just described, against Jonathan, was Supernatural Luke, Jake Farrell with outmaneuver and homing missiles, I think is what I put on him, and Nora in a Y-Wing with dorsal turret, seismic, veteran turret gunner, and something else, maybe expert handling. And yeah, it's Luke is a lot of fun. Nora, I didn't play Nora aggressively enough because that dorsal turret's only 1-2, and I was kind of kiting around, and I didn't get her in until like a couple rounds after she probably needed to be in the fight. But once she got in there, she was like, I mean, she has 1.0 reinforce at range one. She is pretty hard to kill for a ship with 8 health, and even though she has one agility. Yeah, and then Jake is pretty cool. He's cheap. He's under 50 points, I think, with that build. So you can kind of slot him in as filler in some Rebel stuff. And with the homing missile, he's kind of potent. Like, he only has 2 attack dice space, like that, not that problem. That's still kind of a weird problem with A-Wings, but the missiles are super cheap now. So you can throw one on and, you can get him in there to do some real damage. And I think that makes him interesting. It makes him hard to ignore, when he's kind of flanking around, poking at you. So that was fun. I hadn't flown an A-Wing in a while, and auto thrusters, or whatever it's called, the ship ability, is a blast. So
nice.
Yeah, very, very excited to put him on the table again.
So yeah, I got a couple games in so far, and one of the things I was a little worried about with second edition was that it was just going to be a let's point our ships and focus, and it really isn't that, because like, they're revolving around the different support ships that are out there right now. There is a lot more to do, I should say, where you can like there's a lot more coordinate in the game. There's a lot more of the linked actions, and I'm very happy with how it is progressing. Like I said, I was a little worried at first that it was just going to be like, oh, let's just run past each other, shoot, and run away, then read like K turn, do the same thing. But it's really not that. There's enough mechanics in the game that they brought over and at the same time took out of, that it really has brought in this game that is way better than what first edition has become. Like I said, going forward with second edition, I think it's definitely going in the right direction.
For sure.
All right, so let's move on. We didn't forget about our Fang list submission contest. Who wants to take the first one here? All right, so I will. So Scottman20, I'm gonna go over yours first. Your list included Joy Rekoff with the Fang Fighter. It was 52 points with crackshot ion torpedoes, coming in at 59 points. IG-88C with outmaneuver, advanced sensors, and ion cannon. And then finally, Torkoal Mux with IG-88D, contraband cybernetics, engine upgrade, for a total of 48 points on that one. I really like the idea of Torkoal and IG-88C. You are getting that boost with engine upgrade, and you are putting him in a spot where he can really use his ability. His ability, I believe, is the same that he can choose someone at the start of the combat phase to make them fire at initiative zero.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So he's getting these other two characters to come off and shoot before they can do any damage, and it's giving Torkoal the defense that he needs to survive that, with being able to boost and get into range. The other thing about this that I like a lot is the IG-88s. It's like you can throw them in these lists now and still they're good by themselves.
Yeah, especially because you have like IG-88 has the added benefit of adding the calculate.
Yeah.
And the IGs are a little cheaper, I think.
They're about the same.
So yeah, I mean, this is a three ship list, and it's like three fully loaded ships, and one of them's an aggressor. That's pretty
cool. Definitely. So I do like this a lot. The Fang Fighter in there is a little flare. Joy Rakoff, I'm excited to see on the table, just because her ability, you get to spend a charge to reduce the defensive dice. You could probably take something off the board here. I'm a little concerned. Outmaneuver, I think I would go Juke on that instead, just because you have IG-88C and you are getting the evade action from the boost. It's super wholesome. I would do that.
On IG-C, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you're going to be able to outmaneuver much with C. Maybe
I think you got to throw Juke on there.
Right. If you had D, maybe, because he can do that crazy, let's sloop and turn whatever way we want now. But I would go Juke. Other than that, I think it's a viable list. It's three ships, which I know everyone's excited to throw a swarm on the table, but I still think it's viable.
Yeah, agreed.
Who wants the next one? Logan Clark.
All right, so Logan's list, he has a Skull Squadron pilot, Fang Fighter with Crackshot, Captain Nim with Expert Handling, Ion Cannon Turret, and Boba Fett Crew, Bomblet Generator, Shield Upgrade. And he has two Seeks, Sunny Bounder with Ion Cannon, and Enaldra with a Ion Cannon. So points for including two Seeks in your list. And yeah, so that's pretty interesting. He really seems to like tripling down on the ion. I think, if this squad is flying towards you, who are you going to shoot first? I'm not sure. But like being able to triple ion or to someone, I think is pretty powerful. Yeah, so I think it's neat to also, he has another Mandalorian and Boba Fett riding along with Captain Nim. So I think it looks neat. Would it be list building? I mean, within the restrictions of our list building contest, it's pretty neat.
Yeah. All right. I'll give you this this name, Marshall.
Yeah. Timothy Rawader. I'm so sorry. Timothy submitted Boba Fett with Perceptive Copilot, which is 2.0 Recon Specialist. Dead Man Switch, the Marauder title, which is the one that adds the gunner slot. And it's good that it adds the gunner slot because it also has Han Solo, which I guess is how you get Han Solo. So that ship is 99 points. And then he's got two Skull Squadrons, just naked, no upgrades. And I like that people are including the generics, because I think that was something that you absolutely did not see in 1.0. You saw Fen and you saw Old Tarok, and that was it. Right. But the generics, I think, fit into a really interesting spot in 2.0.
Yeah.
Especially with the ship ability, basically just being the old title. I think they're super tanky and they can punch really hard. And having all those linked actions with that dial at 50 points, I think the generic, I think is a PS1.
So yeah, the Skull Squadron pilots. I think that's the PS2. I think they're the one, because I was literally messing around with these guys today.
Oh no, they're PS4.
Oh, okay. So yeah. That's even. Or I literally mess around with a list with the Zealous Recruit.
Yeah, those are the PS4 ones. Oh. Yeah.
Okay, so that's even better. Yeah, that's a 4-point, or I'm sorry, 6-point difference between the Zealous Recruit, which are PS1, and then the Skull Squadron are PS4. I like that a lot, actually. They only come with a talent upgrade, but yeah, those generics are nasty. I'm going to, as first chance I can, I'm putting 3 of the Skull Squadrons with Crackshot and then Sarasu right in the middle of them, just to give them that extra.
Oh, okay. But yeah.
I think that's going to be nasty.
I like that combination of Perceptive Copilot and Han Solo Gunner. So, like, when he gets that red focus with Han Solo, he gets 2 focus tokens.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, so he can roll up.
That's how that. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. He can roll up into range 1, reinforce or whatever, or boost into range 1, get his Boba Fett rerolls, and use Han Solo double focus.
Yeah, that's super cool.
Okay. What I would consider dropping Dead Man Switch and putting Fearless on all 3. But
yeah.
I'm sold on that. Yeah, that sounds good. I would do that as well.
Yeah, so they have that EPT slot. I think they have the potential. Like, I know some of these ships you are like, well, I don't know which EPT to put on, but I think the Skull Squadron, the Fang Fighters in general, there's plenty of options that you can do between Predator or...
Fearless is 3 points. For some reason, okay. I think it was 1. Sorry.
Okay, but still, you can put 1 on 1.
I also thought it was 1. Yeah, it is. Yeah, you could get it on Boba Fett, though, yeah. who I think wants it very badly.
Yeah. So I want to thank everyone that did submit a list. These are just some of our favorites. So let's roll the dice and go with the winner. And this week we have Skullman20. So if you shoot me over an email with your information at libertysquadronpodcast@gmail.com, we will send out your Fang Fighter. Again, I apologize we weren't here last week, like we said we were, but we're still going to get it out to you and let us know. All right. So anyone that has the internet and Facebook might have seen our IG-88 alt arts coming out. They are, I'm super happy with them. I want to shout out to Mark Moriarty over at Hangar 19 Studios. He did a tremendous job on these things. I will be posting them in our Facebook page and information on how to obtain some. First thing we're going to do, though, is I guess we'll do another list submission list. And I want to see something other than just a generic 2 IG-88 control bot or IG-88 and L337. Send me something unique, different, that you don't normally see.
What about the crew? What about like a lone aggressor and IG-88D crew on something else?
That could work. Use your imaginations on it. I know there might not be too much that you could do, but if we'll go next time we're on and pick some of our favorite from that, but IG-88D crew, I you could take him like on anything and still be good. Like, you don't even have to pair him up with another robot. Just getting those 2 calculate tokens for 4 points is pretty solid. But yeah, we will be posting soon on how to obtain these altar cards. It is a set of 5. There's 4 pilot cards and then the IG-88 crew card, D crew card. Look out for them. They're super great. Again, I want to shout out to Mark Moriarty for getting these out to us. So we got some store championship winners we should announce. Gameskeep. Marshall, you were there. You defended your title.
I did not defend my title. I did the opposite of defending my title, which is going 0-2 and dropping.
Kind of like my Nova showing.
Absolutely shameful performance. But yeah, a guy who just moved to the area took my crown, and his name is Marcelo Trian. I believe he's from Brazil, so a recent immigrant to the area. I know you played him, Andrew. Can you like briefly describe his list? I know you said it was a Tie Swarm.
It was three crack X's. It was a Z95 with thread tracers and a U-Wing, just a generic U-Wing that had Hera crew and literally sat in one place for almost the entire game. It was really funny. It was a really interesting list. I was able to take off the Z95 before you could shoot off the thread tracers. And then I literally think my palp shuttle went down. It was my same your Inquisitor Vermeil list. So I think between half points on the U-Wing and getting the Z95, he still got me on points. But it was a really interesting list. It was a lot of fun to fly against. The match went to time. It was a great time. Marcelo, you were an exceptional flyer. And welcome to the area. And I hope to see you out at all our events. So next we are going, Red Caps had their store championship. The winner was Owen. Owen's a regular to the area. He has been flying Twin Shadows for the longest time. He switches it up all the time between Predator and Lone Wolf. But he's probably been flying this match list for about a year now. Great guy. Owen, congratulations. Next we have Joe DiMaggio. I believe he won East Coast Gamers. I don't have his list information here, but would just want to say congratulations for winning that. That was a big event too. That was 32 people. That might have been the biggest store championship of the year.
Certainly in this area, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting events that are barely scratching, 12 people, and these guys had 32 people. They got to a top 8. Good on them. Keeping good the game on alive.
Michael Bird for running a great, doing a great job running events down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Mike's always a great guy when it comes to X-Wing stuff. But yeah, they had so many people out there. I was shocked. It's a little sad I didn't go, but I had other obligations that night. So congratulations to those three guys. We have some upcoming events. Wade's Comic Madness store up in Langhorne. They are having their store championship this Saturday. It is, I'm pretty sure it's Saturday. It's either Saturday or Sunday, but
It's Saturday. It starts at 11.
It is Saturday at 11. Okay. They are having their last 1.0 tournament. I'm not going. My stuff's packed up.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're up in Langhorne. If you still have the itch to play before second edition comes out, definitely check it out. We have Marshall's 2.0 boot camp.
Yep. The group championship has moved, but that is still happening. I can't keep dates in my head. It is, as he pulls up his calendar, it is.
Yep. The 23rd.
Yes. Thank you. It's Sunday, the 23rd at Showcase in Swarthmore.
Yep.
I'm going to get there at noon. It starts at noon. There's not like a fix. You don't have to be there at noon. We'll probably be there from like noon to five. So just come out, play some games, practice your 2.0, and we'll just be hanging out.
So with the movement of the group championship, we are still looking to run an event on the 29th, kind of like a prep event for the group championship. We might have details to come with that. We're just waiting to finalize it with the store. But
yeah, keep an eye out.
So, I mean, if you can't go to the group championship because the date moved, we might still have something for you. But as soon as they finalize, we will let everyone know. And then, again, the group championship has been moved to October 6th at Top Deck Games. I believe it starts early. You can find the information on the South Jersey Philadelphia X-Wing page. We have some launch parties going off. East Coast Gamers is having their launch party on September 15th. All the King's Men is having having a launch party and a potluck on September 17th. That might be interesting. Bring some party meatballs. But Brian, I believe, is running that one. He always does a great job with all of his events. I'm sure he's going to have plenty of alt arts to give out. Before we close out, Jonathan, do you want to, was your newbie tip all those?
newbie tip, Well, I'd say so. Banking is your friend.
Okay.
No, like when you come, when you have a group, a mini swarm, and you're coming up the edge of the board, when you hard turn, sometimes that's committing to. If you want to commit, you turn in. If you're like, hey, I may be going in, I might not be, like the one or two bank can be your friend. Also, if you're thinking about, you know, think about which side you're going to start on. And then when you're putting your rocks, know that you want to have space for your ships to come through. And a rock is not just, when you put a rock down, it's not just where the rock is. Like if you put a rock down, it makes it so that your opponent can't put rocks around it. So if you want to clear a space, you can think, if I put my rock here, my opponent can't put rocks within range one, and that will open up the space. So for whatever kind of list you're having, you know, you can put that rock down to be like, this gives me space to move down this board edge, or this gives me space, you know, wherever you need it.
Yeah.
That'd be my tip.
Well, one of the things you mentioned, banking is your friend, and some new players might not realize this yet, but if you, let's say your opponent's ships are straight and you come in on the bank, if you come in on the bank, you could, and like the positioning is right, you could possibly barrel roll out of their arc. And then you could still have arc on them. So banking is definitely your friend with, when it comes to stuff like that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So before we close out, shout outs. Marshall, you got anything? Nope. Okay. Nope. Jonathan, you got any from Nova?
Shout out to Gold Squadron Podcast and Dion Morales for doing such a great job streaming. And he was great to talk to and stuff, and to Alex Davey, who I met, and he's just as friendly in person as he is on camera. And the weird thing is, like, I never met him, but I'd seen so many interviews with him, I sort of thought that I knew him. It felt like I knew him, but I know I didn't know him. So shout out to him and the judges and all at Nova, like Paul Heaver, Chris Allen, they all judged, and we had them do some calls, and they were all great. So
definitely, yeah, so thank everyone that organized and ran the event this past weekend. It was a great time. I know this isn't X-Wing related, but I do want to shout out to, he probably won't even listen to this, but Lucas Davidson. He is our National Imperial Assault Champion from our area. So big congratulations. I know Imperial Assault is a little hard to get people to come out, but he's been practicing his ass off for this, and it paid off for him. So he won Imperial Assault Nationals this past weekend, and great job.
Yeah, it is a weird and complicated game, and I applaud anyone who is the national champion at it, because I do not understand it at all.
I won more Imperial Assault games this weekend than X-Wing, so woo!
There you go.
But yeah, definitely thanks to everyone that came out this weekend and ran the events. It was a blast. Thank you for what you do, and it was great. All right, guys, I think that concludes this week's episode.
Yeah,
I do not have anything, but again, check out our Facebook page. We will be pushing that, and the IG88 Alt Arts. Anything that we raise money wise for them is going to go back to the community. We have some big plans in the works at the moment. We can't really talk about what they are, but it's going to be good. I think that's it, guys. So fly something, and we will see you soon. All right.
Bye-bye.